welcome your ears to episode number 256 of the Triple Option with RBKD on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, Texas baseball just did something it hasn't done since 2010. Luka Magic invades Beale Street. A lifetime Longhorn abruptly hangs him up. And the worst way to lose your job ever. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great. I appreciate the intro. What'd you say? We're number 256? Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Man, I appreciate you keeping up with that number. Good for you.
It's tough,
very
math.
Diligent of you, man.
Tough for a journalism major. We're powering through.
It's a lot of math, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So you count every day?
I count up by one every day.
And keep track of it, though. The discipline to keep track of it.
We can count, it's that.
I can count.
That's more the media part of it. The discipline to keep track every day.
Amazing. God bless the man.
We're a bits guy. I'm a bits guy.
Yeah,
keep the bits alive. Keep the bits alive.
Are you two people?
Apparently I am. I'm not sure what's going on. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I'm doing great. Was watching baseball. Been watching a lot of sports recently. And definitely today, actually, I was flipping all over with baseball. And it's, I don't know, Jackie Robinson Day. There's something cool to that for what we do. And we talk about sports, and sometimes other stuff can get too involved, maybe, for some people. Totally get that. But it can change a lot of things, too. It can actually work with society and be ahead of it at times.
Absolutely. Today is Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball.
All wearing 42.
Yeah, the anniversary of the day Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in the MLB. So, yes, every baseball player across the league will be donning the number 42. Pretty cool tribute by Major League Baseball on April 15th every year. I will be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. Yes, the rare full 4-hour show. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Thursday afternoon with us. Plenty of sports to get to. We will talk Texas baseball. We will talk Texas basketball. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will talk some Austin FC with a member of Austin FC. Defender Ben Sweat will join the program at 3:30 to preview the inaugural match, which comes up on Saturday. Yes, 49 hours away, gentlemen. Not that I'm counting. 49 hours away from kickoff in Austin becoming a pro sports town.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
James. Oh,
are the nice. Express getting upset with that? Because I kind of think of them as Austin, and that's a professional sports team.
That's Round Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Round Rock has been a pro sports town forever. So is Cedar Park with the Texas Stars.
Right.
But Austin proper, we're joining the club. And
I've expanded Austin as it's gone on. Used to be get to like
no, you're right.
When I was a kid,
because you got
after
Austin
softball
Toros.
Games, they'd go to the Stallion,
yeah.
Right? And the Stallion was off of hell, 45th and Burnett, and we were heading to Round Rock. Like Austin has really expanded,
yes. You know,
like America and Americans.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was poetic.
Like a little manifest destiny there.
It was poetic, and I hit something.
That's good. Yes. Very expressive.
Because I've gotten too big.
We are.
I know, and I'm usually not. I'm like a Spanish, you know, like a Spanish
today.
Woman.
You're feeling good, man.
Ba 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 ba.
Yeah, you're gonna be shimmying pretty soon. White girl.
Depends if Matt McClung gets here.
Unreal.
Now, if we get that breaking news, you will see some shimmy.
Oh, there we go. We promised a shimmy if we get Matt McClung.
I saw Craig dancing today.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
On the stream?
To the Monkees.
Oh, hey, hey, with the Monkees.
That wasn't that song,
like
but
monkey,
that's why you should know them.
I remember the Monkees TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old.
That's what they were talking about. On
the TV show?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Monkees TV show.
I got
show.
Hoodwinked.
It was pretty wacky.
I got hoodwinked as a kid. I asked Chad and Trey, music nerds, about this. So when I was a kid, you can probably tell I was really just focused on sports, and I was not trying to get in the music world. So I thought the Monkees were the same thing as the Beatles.
Ooh.
In terms of their reach. This is like 7 or 8. I mean, this is...
Yeah, that's not that bad.
No, no.
Because they were trying to be the Beatles. That's what they were trying to do.
And they were advertising them that way.
They were trying to do
that. I got caught
that.
In and go, oh, you're the Beatles.
Yeah, they did. They tried to like replicate
first
the
music
Beatles.
Nerd I said that to. Aren't the Monkees just the Beatles, though?
Yeah.
Like,
But the Beatles were so big, they rode the coattails of the Beatles, and they made their own fame just doing that.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. I rode the Monkees.
Like
shout
that.
Out.
9 days away from the Texas spring game, gentlemen. We are 142 days away from the season opener, Texas taking on Louisiana at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. Of course, the biggest question facing Steve Sarkisian and this new coaching staff this offseason, who's going to be the starting quarterback for Texas? Earlier today, we had a player availability down on the 40 acres. One of the players who spoke with the media was offensive lineman Denzel Okafor, who has been at UT forever. I think he started before I started college, and he's still there, and I graduated in 2016.
Very first started impressive. Blocking for Shannon Kelly, actually.
He's had 4 O-line coaches since he's been here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He'll be his 4th O-line coach.
Yeah,
God,
and I remember him playing with Peter Gardere a couple of years ago,
yep.
too. It was good times for Denzel Okafor. But he was asked about the quarterback competition, and he was asked to give his thoughts on both Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. And here's Denzel Okafor kind of talking about that battle.
I've been seeing the same thing really from last year, you know, with Sam as QB1, you know, Hudson and Casey, you know, they came to work every day. And, you know, Casey being QB2, you know, he's been putting in the work just as much as Hudson. So they're both great guys, know how to throw the ball, have a good vision. You know, Casey's more that dual threat quarterback. But whoever is ready, I can't really tell you who, but whoever's ready to ball, you know, they've adjusted to the offensive line and the running backs and the receivers, and it's going to look good when we come in this ball camp.
So there's Denzel Okafor, not giving us too much
I don't think
there.
He gave you much there. That was good. That's a savvy veteran move right there. He gave you a lot without giving you a damn thing.
But I will say
he told you his era, though. How fluid he was with QB1 and QB2. We didn't grow up with
that's
that.
True.
Like I still hear that.
He drops a lot. Yeah,
and I expect Phil Steele to walk out physically.
You're right. BK
and talk
drops
football
that
to me.
That's BK's generation.
I know. And BK knows football. And BK was one of the first. Was like, oh, this is legit. This is not internet video game guy.
And it's not a bit. It's here to stay.
Yeah.
QB1.
It's not going to change my day.
You know, it's interesting, guys. I don't mean to call this gentleman out at all.
Oh, no.
Because I think he does fantastic work, and I'm a big fan of his work, and I'm a big fan of him as a human being.
Now,
and I don't think
that's
he's
a preface.
Wrong. I don't think he's wrong with this, but I did not hear this quote in the video that Texas football posted today. They posted the video of this player availability with Denzel Okafor and David Benda, and I listened to it a couple of times. I watched it a couple of times, listened to the audio, too, and I didn't hear this quote, but Anwar Richardson of Orange Bloods tweeted out that Denzel Okafor said Casey Thompson has been getting most of the reps with the ones. And Hudson Card has been rotating, quote, every now and then, end quote. And Denzel Okafor went on to say they both do a great job adjusting to the offensive line, to the running backs, to the wide receivers. So he was praising both guys, but apparently Denzel Okafor dropped a separate quote in which he hinted towards Casey Thompson getting the majority of the reps. Now, I did not hear that in the audio.
Yeah.
So once again, that could have been something that happened to the side, right? It could have been Anwar Richardson having a conversation with Denzel Okafor after the media availability was over. Mm-hmm. We've seen Texas football edit out certain parts of player interviews
that
and coach interviews
before.
Over the years.
BK
so
has
it could have
that
been
before.
That. Yeah. I have proven that before. I did not notice any editing in this video, but Rod B, perhaps, despite not hearing anything in that audio, perhaps Denzel Okafor gave us something today and maybe hinted to Casey Thompson getting most of the run with the ones.
Yeah, I'm with you. I saw that quote from Anwar Richardson, so I'm not really sure. The quote that Chip Brown threw out, a quote that says, as of now, Casey is getting most of the reps with the ones, but we see Hudson coming in too, rotating every now and then. Whoever is ready to ball, I can't really tell you who, but they've adjusted to the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers, and it's going to look good this upcoming fall camp. So that's right here from Horns 24/7.
That's a little different, though.
It is a little different. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't know what kind of
we might be putting words in Denzel Okafor's mouth. It's my fear.
It's possible.
Because I think he tried.
You mean that we're manufacturing stuff in a day-to-day world when we need an overview on this?
I don't know. Because I saw that too. Because I did. I'm with you. I got the quote from Anwar and then went around. I was like, let me look. Because I was like, oh, we're going to have the audio of that.
Right.
And the audio doesn't really match up with the quote.
And I saw the quote first and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. This is going to be great audio. Denzel Okafor basically hinting to Casey Thompson leading the quarterback battle right now, which I think the three of us, at least I asked y'all this last week, we all think Casey Thompson is the front runner, if you will, for this job. Like, if we had to pick right now on April 15th, I think we would all say that Casey Thompson is going to win the job and get the start for Texas come September 4th.
And if they're 50-50 or close, you may do that to keep Casey Thompson here because that would be a 911 call if he goes into the portal August 28th.
Exactly. And that's part of the decision that Steve Sarkisian has to make. Obviously, the main decision is who gives my football team the best chance to win.
No doubt.
That's a side effect of the decision as well.
And if that's Hudson, we'll go Austin High Maroon as our backup.
Charles Wright.
Your boy.
Yeah, we don't know the motivation for the reps and how they're divided up. You know, Sark could have thought to himself, oh,
and
I see.
We don't know the real reps and how they're divided up.
And we don't know the exactly. We
so
don't know
we'll start there.
We don't know what we don't know.
I don't know if I woke up today.
Everything.
But I am woke.
Yeah, that's a great point. Everything. Hey, there you go. Mm-hmm. Boom. I like that. Amen, brother. I agree with KD for the most part. I mean, we don't really know how or why Sark is deciding to divide reps up the way he is. And, of course, all we have is speculation from sources about how things are going from all the great entities, all the great different websites that cover Texas sports. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Casey Thompson right now would be in the lead, in my opinion, from what I've also read from all these different reports and from my own
sourcing.
I don't know, call it sourcing.
Well, all of us are talking to people, and I don't know. I know you're talking
to people in the know. Talking to people
okay,
in the know.
That's what I'm saying.
That I think Casey is leading it right now, but it's still so early on. We're talking about a marathon, and we're in the first couple of miles of this thing.
Yeah, like I said, 142 days away from the first game, KD.
Yeah.
So
even
if one of these guys is going to have to get the start for the spring game next Saturday, that doesn't necessarily mean that guy is going to be the QB1 throughout the summer and into the fall.
No, and you try and play this competition out. You want them to make each other better. And even if one is separating, Michael used to get pissed all the time. And yes, I am comparing one or both of these quarterbacks to Michael Jordan, the best athlete I've ever seen. So I'm saying GOAT. I want you to mark that.
I'm going to tweet that out right now.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Kevin Dunn says Casey Thompson and Hudson Card are as good or better. I'm going to flip it up a little bit.
Please do. Jack it up. Jordan. Why not?
That's what we do.
If we're lying, let's do it. But Phil, and early on, even Doug Collins would do this, would have Michael, if they're scrimmaging and they're up 15, would put him on the other team. And knowing that it just killed Michael to lose, so all of a sudden he's going to go on a 17-0 run. And I do think that you're going to see whether it's divided into reps and everything, you're going to see Sark really try and get these guys to make each other better. And so if one does separate, you may see the other one try and be put in advantageous scenarios.
You know, I think what is the, and I agree with you, I think what is the greater point, BK's brought this up too, is that I think if Longhorn fans know this all too well, you have to understand you're probably going to need both of these guys throughout the season. Unfortunately, I'll knock on wood for all the scenarios, but think about even this past year, Casey Thompson had to come in at the end, right? Because Sam Ellinger ends up getting hurt.
We got away with one. 20, it took the bowl game.
Yeah, in 20, exactly, right? In 20, Shane Buccelli, right? Before he leaves, he has to come in and save the day for Texas in 2018 a couple of times. 2017, you end up playing two quarterbacks. 2016 is different because you got Shane Buchel is the bridge there, but in 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, 2011.
Dude, I'll go back to you.
You always end up playing.
94, Marins needed Brown. Yeah. 95, well, Brown needed Walton.
Yeah, exactly. You ended up playing both quarterbacks, and even my time, right? Sims, Applewhite, you end up playing two quarterbacks, whether because of performance or because somebody gets hurt. Exactly. All those different reasons. So the truth of the matter is, you're definitely going to need both of these guys, and as BK has brought up, you don't want that to be the young man, Charles Wright. You'd like to give him a little reprieve from that type of pressure early on to be one of those two guys that you know you're definitely going to need throughout the season.
Yeah.
That's just the reality.
Nothing against Charles Wright. That's just a tough spot for any true freshman to be thrown into the fire like that. So, we love our insiders. We say that all the time. and a few of them are listening. I'm not going to give any names, but I've gotten a few texts, and apparently there was a little bit of editing going on in the video.
Okay.
So,
which Texas is known for. You actually have proven that on the air.
And so I actually just went back and watched it.
I didn't think Anwar just floated that out.
No. But I was confused because I had seen the Anwar quote, then I had seen the Chip quote, and they were a little different. And then yeah. I went and watched the video a few times, and I didn't hear either of those things. So I'm like, what's going on? So apparently it was in there, or some variation of that from Denzel Okafor was in there.
I can believe it.
But I'm also being told that maybe they took it out because it wasn't true. And maybe they are splitting reps more than Denzel Okafor is leading on.
Or maybe they took it out because they don't want a member of the family, somebody truly behind the burnt orange curtain, divulging that type of information when that's a rock hard source.
Yep.
Right? That's a concrete source. It ain't, unnamed sources and heard from hearsay from third party. No. That's a player, a star, a guy that the head coach just said is the best offensive lineman right now that they got. He's playing like the best offensive lineman they got.
The only way to diffuse that is to say he's a liar or he's dumb.
And he's a, what is a super senior?
He's not even counting this,
he's an ultimate senior, as he calls it, right? So he's seen it all, four different O-line coaches, and he's telling you, Casey's actually getting more of the, so I'm sure it could be either one. It could be that it's not true, but I'm with KD. You gonna call the super senior doesn't know what's going on? Mm. The super senior, the ultimate senior?
He's the guy in practice every day. Like, he's the guy who knows who's getting the majority of the reps.
Come on, man.
So I don't know. It's
interesting. And he's a guy who's watched practice a lot of that time, too, so he's got a good eye for it.
Come on.
We've got... Ah, well done.
It's a low blow.
We've got some drama, gentlemen.
I'm excited for
Longhorn football. So we're all trying to figure out who QB1 is going to be. Hell, folks behind the scenes might not know who QB1 is going to be, and we might have audio being manufactured to prevent us from knowing who is in the lead for this quarterback race.
And I'm fine with that. Whatever they got to hide. I've not gotten favorable reactions from our colleagues on this, but this is, look, if you got to hide stuff, I mean. It's everything we talk about with them being creative and maybe having some trickery and a little bit of creativeness with their offense. Do the same thing with this. I mean, he's coming from Saban. If it's not going to help them out, why would they release it?
No, I agree. Information is power.
It is.
So how you wield that power, how you use that information, that matters. So, yeah, your opponents right now that are preparing for you, they want to know who the starting quarterback is so they can try to get more film on that quarterback, do more research on that quarterback. I totally agree with you there, no question. But this is the University of Texas, so we're going to find out. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I think Sark's and Sark knows that because he was at Bama, and Bama's the same way, I'm sure, with their fans and how obsessed they are with finding out the information. But I don't know if Sark would be the one to make that decision. I don't know if he would be listening to me. That'd be the kind of the sports information director, literally information.
John Bianca?
That's what they call sports information
calling
director.
Calling on John Bianca.
So,
segment.
No, that's just John Bianca doing his damn job. That's what it is. So good for him. But yeah, I think that probably would be more him going, because he watches practice, as you know, too, and he understands the flow of information, and he is literally in charge of the flow of information. So it would be him. The buck will stop there. So shout out to my man, John Bianca, doing his job.
And like a good tampon, he wants to stop the flow.
The heavy flow.
Yeah. Well, just shout out to tampons. What's wrong with tampons?
They're
around. It's part of life. We don't need to act like they don't exist. I have to get them for a girlfriend at the checkout thing, I can put my head down, but I can buy them with some dignity.
What do you mean some dignity? A lot of dignity. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Last time
I looked at the guy,
no shame at all.
I said, hey, man, I'm getting laid. What about you?
Should be no shame at all.
Said I'm married, so no. It's pretty good interaction.
That's great. All right, one more cut here from Denzel Okafor. We've got more Denzel Okafor audio to play a little bit later in the show, including his thoughts on Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson. Not a lot of drama there. We know those guys can ball. We know both of those guys are going to play for Texas this year. What about the other offensive linemen? So Denzel Okafor was asked which offensive linemen are standing out to him thus far in spring ball. Here's Denzel.
I would say Jake for sure. Our center, Jake, he is really, ever since Kansas State last year when we lost Derek, he stepped up. He's always been that second guy to always – get ready. He knows the play. Center got to be the strongest guy on the offensive line. So he knows all the combinations that we need to go to. and how we need to fit it. So as a young guy, you know, going on his redshirt freshman year, he's really stepped up, and he's going to be really good for us in years to come. So he's a guy that's definitely stepped up. Andre as well at right tackle right now. So I'm really like what I'm seeing from both the young guys. They really stepped up, and they know how to, you know, strain when we need them to.
So there you go, KD. I mean, we saw Jake Majors and Andre Carrick play in the last couple of games for Texas in 2020. Both of those guys did some really good things for the Longhorns, and apparently that has translated to the spring.
Yeah, and I expect that. And there's only so much you can take out of this because he's only seen Texas football at the collegiate level. So, and it wasn't necessarily when Rod was seeing it. You go,
I could see that happening.
Tom Herman, what are you doing not playing that guy? We talked about it. This is not a hindsight thing. We could tell Derek Hurstetter was not cut out to be a high-level center.
We said it on postgame, dude.
Early.
Yeah.
Early.
But people were speculating that in the offseason.
Yeah.
That he
and
wasn't.
We said it before, then I should say on the show, like, hey, why not just give this a shot?
Yep.
Unreal. Yeah, I'm excited for Jake Majors. I think he's C1, gentlemen. Trying to figure out who CB1 is. Now we're doing C1 with center one.
Are we doing this with
every position? No, we don't have to do that.
CB1 and SS1.
I got a C1.
K1, P1.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds weird.
Okay. We're going
just go to set QB1. It sounds cool.
That's the best one.
That one sounds cool.
My son is PK3 at the school.
Yeah, your son's
he's KOS
barely on the team.
He's the kickoff special.
PK.
Yeah, like that.
Nice.
That's what you put on your resume when you're just a kickoff guy.
Yeah.
I'm a KOS one.
I probably
it's like
would.
My business foundations degree. Just hope they don't ask about it.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. It's the triple option with RBKD. We'll continue Texas football conversation later in the program. We'll get to Texas baseball, Texas basketball as well. But when we return, we're talking Austin FC. 2 days away from match day, defender Ben Sweat will join the program to preview the inaugural season for Austin FC. Next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is a Motown-esque-ish Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK's at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. We are expecting a phone call on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline from a very special guest momentarily. He is a starting defender for the Austin FC, Ben Sweat. So we're expecting him to have a conversation with him momentarily. Also, we'll talk some more Texas football. Just got done talking a little Texas football. We'll talk some more of that, too. And right now, KD's watching L.A. Chin.
L.A. Chin?
Yeah, because like, turn to L.A. Chin if you don't mind. I guess he got a text that because LaMarcus Aldridge, we're going to get to that later.
Yes.
Retired.
Retired
one
today.
Of the best Texas
Shout
players
out
ever.
To LaMarcus Aldridge.
And a huge, it was just so big to get him. It was after TJ, but I mean, it just continued that. Ganzi, I was going to say Ganji. I forgot his name. Or Ganji.
Mike
Ganzi. But this is, we're watching the West Virginia-Texas game. Not the tournament game. Not the Kenton Paulino 3 that was an incredible basketball game. But the regular season game early on in Kansas City. And my boy J.D. Lewis, who I love, who is just awesome. And is talented at everything. You don't want to play ping pong with him. He's a scratch golfer. You know, he got
one of those guys?
Yeah, one of those guys. Is cool about it, but as one of those guys, he just put up a floater and got nothing but backboard. I got to give him some hell on that.
Like not backboard and in, just
all backboard. Like a torpedo coming off of it.
It's unreal. All right, let's go now to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline and welcome our special guest to the show. He is a member of Austin FC. He is a defender. Ben Sweat joining the program right now. What's going on, Ben? Thanks so much for the time.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. We are doing great. How are you doing, man? 2 days away from match day. Where's your excitement level at for the season opener and the franchise opener for Austin FC?
Man, it's been building up, dude. I know everyone's excited. I know the city's excited. You know, us players, you know, everyone, all the experience we have, we know what big of a match Saturday is. So we're just excited to, you know, to be part of the history and be, you know, part of the first inaugural match for this club and organization. It's super exciting.
Hey, Ben, talk about the first match with the LAFC. I mean, they're one of the better teams in MLS. I got a lot of superstar players on that roster, Diego Rossi, Carlos Vela. Talk about the matchup and the strategy going into that first matchup.
Yeah, no, they definitely have some special talent, of course. You know, but it's something we've been preparing all week for, the coaching staff, and we're well aware of it, you know, watching video. And, you know, there are a couple players we have to be intelligent. You know, we have to practice defend, and, you know, we have to disrupt their play. And, you know, we're going in there with, you know, our head high, no matter we're first-year team or not. You know, we have our plan, our game plan, and we'll execute it to the best of our abilities.
Ben, you were selected in the expansion draft in 2019 by Inter Miami. So you've got, and obviously then traded to Austin FC, but you've got some experience with an expansion team. What did you learn from that that'll help out this year?
I mean, I've had this question a lot, and last year was so tough to judge. You know, it wasn't a normal year for anyone, especially, you know, a professional athlete playing in MLS. You know, with COVID and the whole quarantine and everything and getting shut down and not having any fans. So it was tough last year. But in terms of, you know, getting to a new club and, you know, definitely the morale, definitely the culture, it has to be there. You know, Austin's done a great job of that so far. They're bringing in a bunch of really good guys, good personalities, good locker room guys that you have to build from ground up. You know, and that's something they've done really well from the top to the bottom. And, you know, it's exciting to be a part of that again and to be part of another team's, you know, first inaugural game.
Speaking with Austin FC defender Ben Sweat here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Ben, you guys scored 5 goals in the 2 preseason games against MLS teams last week. Then you scored 5 over the weekend against San Antonio FC. I mean, is that what this team's identity is going to be this year? I know you're a defender, so that's not all your responsibility, but do you guys plan on scoring that much all season long?
Well, yeah, we've worked a lot on the offensive part as well as the defensive part, but we're an attacking team. We're in a team that wants the ball and wants to dictate the game and control the game. And, you know, he wants the fullbacks providing with, putting in services. You know, he wants our front six making runs in behind. So we want to be attacking base, but also we have to, you know, defend during the attack and, you know, on the other side of that as well. So it's give or take with both, but we've definitely scored a lot of goals. So it's definitely exciting. It's always a big positive when you get a new group of guys together.
Hey, Ben, I got a bit of a personal question. True or false, when you're done playing soccer, when you retire, you're going to get into competitive fishing. True or false?
True.
That's awesome. What type of fishing?
I mean, I was born and raised in just outside of Tampa in Palm Harbor on the Gulf of Mexico. So saltwater, inshore.
Nice.
That's kind of my expertise there.
Have you found some, some fishing holes down there in Texas already? Because we can hook you up, man. We got some people that's really into, they're not competitive fishers, but they're pretty close.
I know, man. I haven't, unfortunately. You know, the weather is just starting to warm up. I mean, it's actually going to be cold in a few days, but preseason's done. Season's in swing. I'm sure when things calm down, I'll be able to get, you know, out and do some freshwater fishing. But I know some of the guys want to, you know, come out with me and, so we'll definitely have to make something happen.
Nice.
Ben, you were called up to the United States men's national team, which is pretty impressive. What was that like when you got that call? And then also, what did you learn from that experience?
Man, it was my biggest moment in my career because it was something that I've always had a goal. I can remember having that goal when I was in, you know, middle school, wanting to represent my country. So getting that opportunity was massive for me. And to do it in my hometown was even bigger and more special having my family and friends there to support. But it was a really good experience. You know, great group of guys. You know, it's for me, that's the highest you can play for. Besides playing maybe a Champions League final, a World Cup final, like representing your national team is the highest honor. So it was great, man. And it was a huge experience for me and positive experience for me.
That's awesome. Speaking with Austin FC defender Ben Sweat. Hey, Ben, this is going to sound creepy as hell because we've never met. This is our first time speaking. But
welcome, Ben.
My folks live in Galveston, right on the Gulf down there. So one of these days, man, maybe after the season, you got to get down there and we'll catch some reds and some trout if you're down with that.
Oh, no doubt, man. I've already had my eyes on Port O'Connor.
There you go.
Down there on the reds, black drum, the trout, and all that. So definitely have to make something happen. I know Galveston holds, you know, a really good fishery as well. So
that's awesome.
I appreciate
man.
That.
Love that.
Well,
love
since
that.
We're getting close, Ben, my mom has a birthday party tomorrow, and she's a huge soccer fan. So if I can get your number after this and you swing on by, then we'll be cool. Otherwise, not.
No doubt, dude.
Hey, Ben, I got a question for you though about American soccer. You've obviously got a great passion for the sport, and you've watched the kind of Americanized version of the most popular sport in the world. Give me your thoughts on where how the popularity of the sport has really increased in America since you have become a part of it, and project for me in 20 years where you think American soccer will be.
Man, it's pretty crazy. You know, I grew up playing soccer and baseball, you know, all my brothers and I, we did. And to see so many kids wanting to play soccer, only soccer from a young age to now, and where this league is going in the positive direction it's taken, how fast it's growing in terms of, you know, the fan bases, the amount of people watching and paying attention to it, you know, the unbelievable stadiums, the amount of money they're putting towards it, you know, how players are being compensated. You know, they want to compete with Europe, and they're doing all the right things to do that. Obviously, they're not going to build it overnight. You know what I mean? So, like you said, in 20 years, I think this league will be one of the top leagues in the world. No doubt about it. I mean, it just gets better every year. It gets more competitive every year with European players wanting to come over here, South American players wanting to come over here, with a lot of youth American players, you know, coming up young in MLS and then getting sold to Europe. So it's really good. They're doing a really good job.
Kind of a follow-up question to that, Ben. I mean, I assume this is your first time ever living in Austin, and obviously this is the first year for Austin FC. Have you been surprised at all with the reaction of this fan base? Because it's a pretty soccer-crazy fan base, and you know, you look at World Cup ratings over the last few World Cups, Austin is always near the top of cities in the country in terms of TV ratings and popularity. So have you been at all surprised with just how passionate this fan base has been thus far without even playing a match?
I mean, I could say I am surprised, but I'm not surprised because they don't have a professional team here. You know what I mean? So they've been itching for it. You know, so for them to just finally get it and that everyone can just be behind it and support it has just been, it's been unbelievable to see that. And the amount of support us players, the staff, the whole entire organization has received since coming here early January myself. It's been amazing, man. And everyone's super excited about it, if not more excited than the players are. You know, the amount of passion they're showing, it's exciting, man. We're looking forward to that home opener in the Q2 stadium.
Ben, is there an experience or a meal you've had in Austin that you've thought, you know what, I can do this town?
Oh, man, my wife and I don't think we've had a bad experience yet. I feel like every time we go out to dinner, we're like, oh, my God, this meal is amazing. So I can't pick a favorite place. I've pretty much tried everything. I would have to say Terry Black's is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I went to Jeffrey's Steakhouse. That was an unbelievable experience. I've been to a few places. It's the food's been unbelievable. And I've lived in New York and Miami. And, you know, I think the food here tops New York and Miami, to be honest.
That is a huge statement. I lived in New York City, too. Nice. That's pretty big. Austin Chamber of Commerce better run with that.
Oh, man. Last question for you, Ben, before we let you go. Look, we've had beat writers, we've had analysts. I mean, we've talked to a lot of folks around MLS, and we've asked, you know, what are realistic goals and expectations for Austin FC in year one? I want to ask you as a player, what do you think realistic goals and expectations for this club in year one are?
We want to be successful. We want to make playoffs the first year. And then when we get to playoffs, we want to, you know, try to get to the final. You know, I don't think you can use being a first year team as an excuse. You know, we have the coaching staff, we have the players, and, you know, we have an unbelievable stadium and training facility. We have everything there to be successful. You know, now it's just building the culture and, you know, flipping the switch quick. And, you know, we have the fan base behind us. We have the whole city behind us. So I think, you know, we need to take it and run with it and bring a lot of energy to this year and realize there might be some ups and downs, but we, as a group this year, we can make some history, you know, for this inaugural season and this new club.
Love.
So it's exciting, man.
Yeah. Love to hear that, Ben. Thanks so much for the time, man. We really, really appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend and all season long, and we'll definitely stay in touch about that fishing trip, all right?
No doubt, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
I mean, Mom's birthday is tomorrow, too, so let's not Look at you honing in on a fishing trip.
Come on now.
Although, you know, he probably heard that and thought, that sounds great.
No, he is. He actually owns a, oh man, I forget the name of it, but he owns like a fishing shop that down in Florida. Twin's Tails Outfitters, I believe it is.
Twin's Tails.
Twin Tails.
Okay.
Somebody who knows what the hell
he may get some
about.
Different offers when they walk in there.
But yeah, I mean, he loves fishing. It's widely known for anybody who's a Ben Sweat fan. They're like, that's his first love, or I guess his second love behind soccer. Said he was I find it interesting, though, that he played baseball, and I read something about that. That's why I wanted to ask him that question about soccer. Right now, 7% of Americans say soccer is their favorite sport.
Yeah, it's growing.
And that is, by the way, that is the highest ever for soccer, and it is the highest for any other sport other than the big three since auto racing in 1997.
Wow. Hmm. You know, we were just talking about NASCAR and auto racing in the 90s and how it just...
It was big. It was huge. It was right up there with, you know, it was trending behind...
It was four, but it was good four.
Yeah, it was trending in the right direction, but now nobody lists that. But now, 7% of Americans list soccer as their favorite sport. 9% of Americans list baseball as their favorite sport. So soccer actually is catching baseball.
It is.
I mean,
baseball fans don't answer those polls, but yes, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, guess... I
they're
mean,
too old. They have a landmark.
It's the Gallup poll, so they've been asking...
Is it online?
They've been asking it since 1937.
Yeah, most baseball fans don't know about online yet.
So they've been doing it for a while, so they probably have mail-in stuff.
And the most recent one, basketball, actually went down, which was surprising.
Basketball is
a
at
percent or
11%
two.
Of Americans say basketball is their favorite sport. Football is at 37%.
Football is just...
Football is king.
Yeah.
Always. All right. We really appreciate Ben Sweat for his time.
Cool.
Just more than 48 hours away from the inaugural match, Austin FC taking on LAFC this Saturday afternoon.
The reality is still majority of the people who are going to be watching this aren't huge soccer fans, but they're watching because it's Austin and they want to get into the sport and they want personalities. And he has that.
Definitely.
And it's year one and two until you maybe really just you're a winner and people are kind of getting into it and understanding it more. Got to have guys like that.
Good dude.
Totally agree.
Good dude.
Matt Beisler too. He's got a good personality. He did a Matthew McConaughey video. He was basically mocking Matthew McConaughey on his way to Austin in a Lincoln, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Wasn't bad.
Is McConaughey playing a Sean Penn role as we speak?
Sean Penn role?
Yeah. Like, is he filming something? Because I've seen him on video the last couple
weeks. He's doing a lot of promotion.
He's a dead ringer for Penn. A good-looking Penn, but...
He's doing a lot of promotion for Austin FC. You know that randomly LAFC nugget, Will Ferrell is also a co-owner
of
LAFC. So now you got the
Will Ferrell. What is it, the 05
Ferrell,
National
Championship? I know, that's exactly what I
thought
of.
You got that going on all again.
Unreal.
Pretty cool.
All right, when we return here on the Triple Option with RBKD, we're talking Texas baseball. The Longhorns have done something that no Texas baseball team has done since 2010. We'll tell you what that is next.
You gotta smile so bright. To Mitch. Swings here and lines it in the left field, a base hit. Coming in to score is Soto. Mitchell Daly, a big turn. He's going to dig for second. He'll slide with a hustling RBI double. The Longhorns have reclaimed the lead at 6-5.
Mitchell Daly coming through. This Texas offense has been coming through a lot during this now 10-game win streak for Texas as they complete the 2-game sweep of Nevada. You heard it right here on the horn last night. Texas gets the 6-5 win. Daly had just been struggling. I was about to pull him. I mean, that average had gotten below 350, and he had been struggling a little bit, and this is the one time he's actually looked like a freshman. But he came up there and was able to deliver. That was the difference, as Nevada would end up getting four in the top of the eighth. Texas got one in the bottom of the eighth, so I guess that would have been the difference. Well, I guess they're all the difference because you add them all together.
There you go.
But the Daly one felt like that was going to be it. Texas got in some trouble in the top of the eighth, but they do what they do, guys. They answer. I've said it all year. They're incredibly resilient, and they got that run in the bottom of the eighth, and they were able to close it off. Doug Hodo with a 2-run home run. He went 2-for-4. And BK, it just feels like people are stepping up. Someone gets hot, maybe someone gets a little colder, but someone's going to step up. It's a complete lineup.
Absolutely. Do we blame you for Mitchell Daly's recent struggles?
Sure. Throw it on me.
Cool. Yeah. That works. Yeah. I'm crediting myself also because I asked the question after Texas swept Kansas, would the Longhorns ever lose again? And they haven't lost since then. It's now 10 in a row for Texas.
Right.
So, you know, it's no big deal, but you're welcome for Texas baseball success. I'd put like David Pierce here and then me slightly below
right there.
For reasons why Texas keeps winning games. So you're welcome, Longhorn Nation.
Rod, here's how good the Texas baseball program is. That you probably dealt with this at DBU to some degree. So their 10-game win streak is pretty impressive, right?
It's very impressive. Yeah. It's the longest since 2010.
Exactly. And they're 24 off from the school record.
24 off from the school
1977,
record.
They won 34
That's
in a row.
That's unbelievable,
How many did they win in 2010? Like 23?
I don't know.
22. Like,
but
22.
It never got close. There were still 12 games off at 34 for the school record. A lot of times if you break the school record in the baseball program, you're going to be dealing with the national record.
Is freakish. That is a great. It's like a Wilt Chamberlain stat. It's like, that's not real. That's real.
FAU against the sisters of the poor. Brothers of the poor.
Okay.
Let's go 2021. Baseball. Let's go baseball, and you can have boys that suck. So they put 34 to get. Well, that's the whole thing is why you shouldn't say sisters. You say brothers. Let's keep it straight.
Gotcha.
And 34 in a row for FAU in 99.
So that's the record?
They tied it. They tied Texas' record. But I look at both records, and I think there's one that's more impressive in terms of schedule.
No question. Mm. Yeah, you used the word resilient.
I mean, stat.
These guys just have each other's backs, man. I mean, you could tell this is a close-knit group. And last night, the bullpen kind of imploded in the eighth. They gave up those four runs. It took, three pitchers to get out of the eighth inning last night. But bottom half of the inning, what happens to the lineup? They've got each other's backs. And Dougie Hodo started off the inning with a double. You knew at that point, like, all right, something's about to happen here. We've just seen it so many times from this team this year. Cam Williams moves him over, and then you've got the Mitchell Daly RBI double. So they're finding ways to win, Rod. I mean, not every game is going to be pretty, but all that matters at the end of the day is that you get the dub, and that's what this Texas team is doing right now.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch this team grow and evolve. You know, I think initially, you know, and I've talked about it, I think their motivation was the horrible, terrible, no good start they had, right? The 0-3 start where they lost to elite teams, but just playing some of the worst baseball we've seen a Texas baseball team play. Now we can say it. Yep. We couldn't say it at the time because we're being sensitive. It was some of the worst baseball we've seen a Texas baseball team play.
I was saying it during a lot of the breaks, though.
Right, exactly. And those first few games, but nobody wanted to overreact.
That's before we were on Twitch, thankfully.
Now in retrospect, we can throw that out there.
But you would have seen me giving this team's really good.
I think the motivation was, these guys obviously knew they were much better than that. That humiliation, it humbled this group, and that humility brought them together because nobody really played well. Everybody had to kind of rededicate themselves to the craft, go back to base one, get back down to the little things that matter, start focusing every day. That grind got them now to this win streak now they're on, and I think now what's powering this group is just belief. They now believe that they are that good. They believe that they're
They do. They've built that
three.
Confidence.
Yeah, and at one point they lost to those teams that were considered elite, and I think the big thing that they suffered then, that they lost early on in the season, was belief. They're like, damn, man, I don't know if we belong. Man, we might suck.
Right.
We actually may not be good at all. All right. Before we overreact, let's go back to work. And it went back to work, and that focus now brings them down. And now they actually believe they're one of the best teams in the country, if not the best team in the country.
Yeah.
If you started talking to them about other teams, I know they're watching other teams around the country. I wonder who they think is in their class or better than them.
I think
probably not many.
Not many. I mean, I think they probably have a lot of respect for Arkansas, the Mississippi schools, and mm-hmm. I know Kumar is not the Kumar that we've seen the last couple of years. He's still been brilliant, by the way. Yep. Kumar Rocker at Vanderbilt, their Friday guy, and then Jack Leiters, their Saturday guy, and probably going to be the number one overall pick and probably the best pitcher and player in college baseball. That those would be the teams. But BK, I think Rod's right. You're not, it's not the list you would have had after that first weekend or even after that first month. And Pete Hansen, I'm telling you this, you get into a regional game and all of a sudden you get your four on their four in a do or die game and you're thinking, oh my God, I wish we had Ty Madden. Well, most teams have a one. Who's your four? How do you get some depth? And Pete Hansen would be a two the way he's pitching right now at some place.
He's gotten better every start, and last night was his best one yet. I know he technically gave up three runs. The bullpen didn't help him out too much in the eighth, but season high in innings, he was throwing strong.
There, because usually if you have that easy ride to the championship, even if you're loaded, more loaded than this team, you're going to run into adversity, and you probably need that muscle memory and that scar tissue to know how to deal with it.
Good point.
When we return on the Triple Option with RBKD, we're going to speak with one of our own, Tyler Campbell, the son of legendary Lifetime Longhorn Earl Campbell.
Shout out.
Also, Tyler Campbell hosts a show every Saturday.
Great one.
On the Horn. We'll preview what he has coming up this weekend and talk a little ball with TC up next.